Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Chris Raunchy, Amy Markscores. Because life is too short for boring radio. 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It's Amy Markscores and Chris Raunchy on 104.1 FM KMOX. And as we mentioned before we went to break, there are a lot of people who rely on Medicaid or have family members who do or know somebody on Medicaid, and they might be concerned about losing benefits because of some of these federal funding cuts that have been proposed and are happening. To discuss that with us, what is next and what can be done, CEO of the nonprofit Protect Our Care, Leslie Dock, joins us here on KMOX. Leslie, good to have you with us. How are you? Do we have Leslie? Leslie is muted. As soon as we...
No, I apologize.
Oh, Leslie,
hey,
hello.
How are you?
How are you?
Good. Well, I was saying not so well because I'm very concerned about what will happen to the people on Medicaid. But happy to be on the phone with you to get, have a chance to talk it through.
Well, it's good to have you with us. So what realistically do you think is about to happen to people who are on Medicaid?
Well, I want to use numbers from people who study this rather than mine. But, the numbers are just in the state of Missouri, for example, that over 100,000 people will lose their Medicaid in the state. And also, it's important to know that this legislation that's being pushed through Congress also makes dramatic cuts to the number of people who will be able to get their insurance through the Affordable Care Act. And it's estimated that another 100,000 people will lose their ACA coverage as a result of this bill as well. So over 200,000 Missourians will be left without health care.
You know, you mentioned about this legislation that's being pushed through. How likely is it to succeed when you have fairly prominent members of Congress, not just Democrats, but prominent Republicans like Senator Josh Hawley, who oppose cutting Medicaid?
Well, we've been the reality is that a lot of those who on the Republican side who've expressed concerns have basically indicated that they're likely to vote for the bill. So nobody has said they're going to vote no. So I think most of the people in the press and, in Washington don't really see a translation of those concerns into better language in the bill. I wish it was different. And we have a lot of hope still for Senator Hawley. He's been a vocal proponent of Medicaid, but there's no signals that he's actually effectuated any changes or that he will vote no.
Do you have any contact or much contact with his office?
I do not personally, but others do. I think And a lot of this is behind closed doors now, but there's no public indication of that he's left a mark on making this bill better.
Leslie, I know that we talk about waste, fraud, abuse, those phrases, and how, yes, of course, everyone wants to cut down on waste, fraud, and abuse. What we don't want to do is just cut people off from their health care, from Medicaid.
Right.
Do you see a way where, like, yes, this is a way Medicare could run better or could be more efficient so that we can maybe cut costs without cutting care?
Well, first, I think it's important for listeners to know that Medicaid is the best-run healthcare program, private or public. It has the only 2% overhead. It has the highest ratio of money that goes to spend to direct care versus the money that goes into sort of any of the bureaucracy. So it's already highly, highly efficient. And, you know, there are, I think the ways to do that really are to be sure that we look at what the providers are at times are doing. It's not individuals that are gaming the system that, according to studies, that add up to anything meaningful. So it's not by cutting people off the rolls that we save money. We save money by making the delivery of healthcare more efficient. For example, the biggest thing you could do to lower the cost of Medicaid would be to lower the cost of prescription drugs and what the Medicaid has to pay for that. So yes, we could save money, but it's not really on the backs of people who will lose their insurance. It's about the high cost of medicine.
Leslie Dock is the CEO of Protect Our Care. And in terms of the Medicaid process of getting benefits, the argument that we've heard from people who are on the Republican side is, oh, we're not trying to get rid of Medicaid. And the cuts are about efficiency. But it does seem like, unless I'm reading this wrong, and you can tell me if I am, it seems to me that the process will become more cumbersome for people who are trying to get the benefits. So they will ultimately end up losing the benefits because of the process. Is that right?
No, that is completely right. If I can, you know, this is an example. You have to, in states like Missouri, you may very well have to show that every month you've met this work requirement of 80 hours. But think about people who work in retail who don't, you know, their schedules are very last minute. Think of people in seasonal work, people who like drive a school bus, who don't work over the summer. If they miss one month a year of not making those hours, they could be kicked off the rolls. You know, if you're a home health care worker and God forbid, you know, your client dies and you have to, you know, find a new one. So there are so many people who simply have jobs that don't allow, don't necessarily have 80 hours of work every month. They could live in rural areas. So this thing is, unfortunately, in many ways, seems to be designed to make it very, very hard for people to stay on Medicaid.
When we look at Medicaid and then we look at Medicare, how do those two overlap or how do they compare to each other as far as how much money those programs cost?
Well, Medicaid has 72 million people on it across the country, so it's actually a bigger program than Medicare. Mm-hmm. As you said, there is overlap. So 60% of nursing home stays are paid for by Medicaid. And I think we all know people who've exhausted all of their assets as a result of being in the nursing home. And when that happens, they're covered by Medicaid. So there's an overlap there when it comes to, like, you know, real people and how they get their care. Also, if you're a senior with disabilities or you have a very complicated condition, you also would be paid for by Medicaid.
And you mentioned that the, okay, if costs are going up for Medicaid, a lot of that is driven by pharmaceutical companies and the costs of medicine. And I imagine the cost of care and nursing homes and so forth, all of that is so expensive. That's where a lot of the increase in cost is coming from, correct?
That is correct. And if you talk to the Medicaid directors around the country, and you ask them how to, you know, save money in Medicaid, you know, they're, you know, on paper, their reports that they write say it's a combination of what you just said. The high cost of medicine would be probably the first thing they would want some help on. And after that, there are other areas as well. But it's all in the practice of medicine, not that they're getting ripped off by individuals.
Mm-hmm. Leslie, so there was a recent report that suggested over 300 hospitals in rural areas around the country could end up closing as a result of this. And it's already a problem to get health care in rural areas. So first of all, how accurate is that number? And then if it does go down like that, how much more difficult will it be for people in, you know, less populated areas to get the health care they need?
You know, unfortunately, we don't need, you know, fancy analytics to understand what would happen, because when rural hospitals close, they close. So imagine you're living in a place and you have an emergency. You have to go to the emergency room for something. There is no emergency room anymore. Maybe there's a clinic, but it doesn't have an operating room. It doesn't, you know, can't do a CAT scan. That's what's going to happen. And so once they close, and they don't just come back the next week, as you obviously, that hospital is probably in that community is without a hospital for, you know, for forever in a sense. So, you know, there and the what this studies have shown is that it would reduce basically Medicaid payments to hospitals by over $300 billion. And then also, there's uncompensated care that other hospitals will do when the uninsured don't pay their bills. So, you know, all in all, that what the study has said, there's so many rural hospitals that are on the, you know, perilous economics mm-hmm. today that take out the $320 billion that they receive from Medicaid, which they is now estimated they won't anymore due to some of these changes in on how hospitals are reimbursed. That's where that estimate of hundreds of rural hospitals closing comes from. And so people will just simply not be able to get their care. Just think, you're going to have to get in an ambulance or a car and drive 100 miles to a big city. You live, you know, obviously you're on one side of a huge state. And if you had were in the middle of it and you needed to go to a real hospital, that's a heck of a long car drive.
Well, and you talk about compounding factors when it comes to health care. 40% of births in Missouri are covered by Medicaid. That's a lot. That's significant in our state. We also know that 41% of Missouri counties are defined as maternity care deserts. We've talked about this. I think we talked about it with the current governor of Missouri as well about medical deserts, about maternity care, and how it's not available in rural areas. So can you imagine how that would be exacerbated if you're already in a maternity care desert? Now your nearest hospital may not even exist anymore, and the cost for giving birth now is on you. It really creates a dire situation for a lot of people. You know, specifically, I'm thinking of these women who are in bad positions.
Without doubt. And that's, you know, this is not something we need to do, because when you look at this bill, they are, you know, the Republicans in Congress have decided that it's important to give a massive tax break to big corporations and to extremely, extremely wealthy individuals. They wouldn't have to cut a nickel in Medicaid if all they were doing with those tax cuts were to give it to the middle class and working people. But they've decided to blow a $4 trillion hole in the deficit and in our budget in order to do these tax cuts. And so this isn't a necessity that's driven by Medicaid. This is a choice that the president's making, and those in Congress voting for these bills, that giving these tax cuts to people who don't need them is more important than keeping people on their health insurance. It's that simple when you see what choice they're making.
So, Leslie, what would you tell people who are nervous about this? Like, if there's anything they can do about it, or are they just bystanders in this?
Well, it's getting close to the wire, but I think this is the best thing, and I know it sounds trite to many people. The best thing they could do is pick up the phone and, leave a message for Holly, saying that they're very disappointed in what appears to be happening, and that no, you know nobody Medicaid should not be cut in order to pass these tax cuts for people who don't need them. Yes, keep the tax cuts for the middle class. Yes, keep the tax cuts for the people who work hard for a living, but don't do it for the hedge fund managers and the billionaires, and then you wouldn't don't touch my Medicaid. Now, I don't know, like I said at the beginning, I'm unfortunately pessimistic, but I'm fighting till the last second. And I'm that's what I think people need to do. And then, we're not a PAC. We don't work on elections, but eventually, this will be part of how people should look at their elected officials. What did, how did they stand up for these important things that matter in people's day-to-day lives?
Leslie Dock is the CEO of the nonprofit Protect Our Care. We appreciate your time today. Thank you for talking over the issue with us.
Thanks for having me.
That is Leslie Dock joining the show.
Yeah, it's a tough conversation, Ranj. I know Democrats and Republicans have talked about some kind of reform just to keep the program sustainable. We've talked about that with Social Security. Like, okay, if it's growing, if it's expanding, how do you keep it sustainable? And I don't necessarily have the answer for that. I think the key is what you don't want to do is say, well, we're just going to make a blanket cut that really overwhelmingly affects the disadvantaged. You
Well,
can't do that. So
yeah.
how do we figure out how to make it sustainable? I don't know.
Like he said, if we're not doing tax cuts for really wealthy people, we wouldn't have to be having this conversation in the first place.
Or
But
big
in my,
pharma, like looking
yeah,
at
of
big
course.
pharma, like look how big pharma, and we talked about the pharmacy benefit managers and how they're driving up prices. Shouldn't we look at that side of things?
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. We will be talking to Matt Pauley just after 10:30. The Cardinals had a pretty rough weekend in Milwaukee. What's next for them? That's all coming up on the show, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Ranj, I went to a baby shower.
Oh, congratulations.
Saturday. Thank you very much.
Is it your baby?
It's not my baby.
Oh.
I'm not a good shower person. I don't know what happened. I feel very feminine and girly when I'm here because I work with you doofuses and Kevin Wheeler and Andrew in our office. So it's you, Matt, Kevin, Andrew. I feel very girly and feminine. But then sometimes when I go to a place like a shower, I feel very much like a man bachelor.
Okay.
And so I went to a bridal shower a couple of years ago. And I dressed like I always dress. So I wore like black jeans and a black like kind of crop top type thing. And didn't realize you don't wear black to bridal showers. And when they opened the door and they were all in floral dresses, I realized I'd made a mistake. And they're like, oh, that's okay. You don't have to be in all the pictures. At any rate, I didn't wear black to this baby shower because my friend said, don't wear all black to a baby shower. So I found a sensible pair of brown trousers and I had a periwinkle top, which is like kind of purpley. So I felt very appropriate. I was the only one not in a dress, but they were nice trousers. And then we played, like we had really good food. It was really fun visiting. The food was so good. But they gave us diapers. And you were supposed to write something on the diaper. So that way, when they when they first have the baby and they're waking up seven times a night to change the diaper, they might have a little message from a friend. So I was standing around all the food.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
When did this become a thing?
I don't know. But I was standing around the food and I thought it was funny because I was writing mine right next to the shrimp platter. So I wrote, hey, I'm writing this next to the shrimp platter. And I thought that was funny. I thought I'd give him a chuckle. And so I asked my friend, what did you write on the diaper? And she's like, I wrote, you know, you're doing a great job. You're a great mom. I'm like, oh, so this was supposed to be inspirational. So I think it'll give him a chuckle, though. I'm writing this next to the shrimp platter. You read that at 3 a.m. You laugh. You're grateful that you're friends with me.
Yeah, you don't want to write a successory on a diaper.
A successory?
Don't you remember successories? Those like motivational photos they used to sell at the kiosk at the mall?
Oh, man, no. Well, now, then we got a little note, and it's for the baby 18 years from now to read. That's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure to write a note. So I asked my friend, what did you write? And she said, oh, she goes, I wrote, like, your parents used to be cool. You know, this is what we did. We went to concerts. We went drinking. They had a great wedding, all this stuff. And I was like, that is what you're supposed to write.
Oh.
That is great. I think that's really clever.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I wrote?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
I wrote, hey, did they change it back to Gulf of America yet? Wow. Ask your mom. I think that's funny. It's funny. Because your mom, you ask your parents to explain. I think that's funny because if either way, it's funny.
You proud of it? You're proud of that, weren't you?
I'm proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think the little baby's going to read all these inspirational stories, but then they'll know, hey, mom, what does she mean the Gulf of Mexico? Did I say America? Sorry.
Hey, mom, what's wrong with that one lady who was, at your baby shower? What's her problem?
But did they change it? I think I said Gulf of America. I wrote, did they change it back to Gulf of Mexico yet?
Do you think she'll save the message you wrote on the diaper, too?
I don't think so, because that diaper will be poopy.
Well, but if it was funny enough.
But I think I crushed it, and it was a very fun baby shower. And I'll tell you what, the food, I left that place stuffed. It was so good.
You know who didn't crush it? The Cardinals.
But no, they didn't.
They had a bad weekend. We'll talk to Matt Pauly, host of Sports Open Line, Redbird Rush Hour, and pre- and post-game. Matt is next on KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Cardinals are down to their last strike. The pitch to Wynn. He swings and misses a curveball, and the Brewers win 3 out of 4. The final, Milwaukee 3, the Cardinals 2.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
Over the weekend, a four-game series in Milwaukee, and it goes the Brewers' way. They take 3 of 4 from the visiting Cardinals, who have an off day today, and they'll be back at it tomorrow against a team that stinks in the White Sox. They'll be on the road for it.
Hey, but... Just as a side note, the Pope had a message for a mass that was held at Guaranteed Rate Field the other day.
He did. And he said something about, he had a tweet about losing and how it's okay to lose because it teaches you that you're imperfect and whatever. And every response is, does this sound like a White Sox fan or what? You have to rationalize losing all the time. All right, so let's go to Matt Pauly. He's the host of Sports Open Line, the Redbird Rush Hour at 5 o'clock. So there'll be a Redbird Rush Hour tonight and a Sports Open Line. He's also got pre- and post-game coverage, and we've got Matt Pauly with us. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
So 1 month ago, the Cardinals were a game out of first place behind the Cubs, and as they sit now, they are 7 games back of the Cubs. They are tied with the Reds in third place, and the Brewers have now jumped in front of the Cardinals after this four-game series. So that was not the absolute worst it could have been, but it was not a good outcome this weekend, Matt.
Yeah, not great. You would have liked them win, you know, at least one more game against the Brewers. And you know, most four-game series are split. You feel pretty good about it. Both sides kind of feel good about it when you walk out of there splitting a four-game series. But when somebody wins 3 out of 4, it's a very different feeling. Especially, there were a couple one-run games in there yesterday. Cardinals had the tying run on at second there in the ninth inning. Just could not find a way to come up with that run coming home. And they also, on the Friday night game, they lose that game by just 1-3-2. So, they're not playing as good a baseball as they were earlier. There's some things that are going against them. And, the batting average on balls in play right now against starters is just crazy. And you hope that that kind of comes back to earth at some point in time. You would think it would. But they're not doing enough in other areas to find ways to win. So that's the way things work. When you're not playing your best baseball, some of the stuff that's out of your control also goes against you. That's just the world we live in, and that's what's happening right now with the Cardinals.
So, I mean, do you believe, if you had to guess, that what's been going on with them lately over the last couple of weeks, they've lost 7 of 8, the fact that balls getting put into play are finding empty grass, do you think that is flukish, or is this closer to what they probably should be?
I think the actual, like, the being very, very, very specific on the batting average on balls in play, I think that in itself is flukish. But again, I don't think that's per se the reason that they're losing these games. So I don't think them losing right now is flukish. I don't think they're playing very good baseball right now. Now, does that mean that they can't? They were playing great baseball 2+ weeks ago, and for the month leading into that, we were talking about it at that time. Like, what we were comparing the first 2 weeks of the season to that and saying, well, what's closer to the truth? I think we can do that again right now. What's closer to the truth of this team, who they are right now or when they were on that really good run? It is somewhere in the middle. I think they're a better club than what they're showing right now. But at the same time, as we come up on a little bit more than a month away from the trade deadline, they do have to turn it around. They do have to show that they are a team that can fight their way back into a playoff spot. And if they don't do that, then all of a sudden this is going to be a team that's going to be selling off at the deadline.
Hey, Matt, I can't remember if you were on with Bernie Miklas on the Gas House Gang. I think it was, or maybe the Glover Show too, when he was pretty hot about the Cardinals and their reluctance to use some young guys consistently. I think he was maybe bringing up McGreevy, and he contrasted that with the Brewers, the way the Brewers will throw young guys in and say, here, give them a chance. Wanted to get your thoughts on that. I don't know if you heard it or if I summed it up right, but he was just saying the Cardinals tend to be more reluctant with giving those young guys a consistent chance.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, that's true. And you kind of compare the last 2 years. So like last year, the Brewers gave a job to Jackson Churio and said, this is your job, run with it. And Jackson Churio was terrible for the first month, 2 months of the season last year. And then all of a sudden he found it and he became a big time impactful player. The Cardinals historically haven't really had the ability to just hand a job to somebody and let them sit through them being terrible for a while because of what they were playing for. For the Brewers, there's kind of been nobody else. They've relied so much on these guys that they develop, and they've done a really good job with it. Now, this year, I think what is happening with McGreevy, because of the lack of starting pitching depth, there is something that I understand what the Cardinals are doing, but I also understand why people are frustrated that they're not seeing more of Michael McGreevy. Is McGreevy better than one of the five guys that's currently in the rotation? I think that's a yes. I think, and especially on a year where there was so much talk about giving guys runway. I think we're moving towards a point where McGreevy is going to be in the rotation. They've just the bottom line here is, they have so little starting pitching depth that they are, it's almost survival mode in terms of making sure that they've got somebody to start every single day. And if they say, hey, Miles Michaelis, thank you for your time with the Cardinals, but we're going to focus on a young guy now, and we're going to get you out of here, and then all of a sudden you bring Michael McGreevy up, and the next day somebody gets injured, you don't have another starting pitcher. There is no depth, and at some point Quinn Matthews might be ready. I guess you could move Steven Matz out of the bullpen if you really wanted to, but essentially right now there are six guys in the organization who can start games at the major league level, so they have to be really, really careful with their depth. So I understand what the Cardinals are doing. At the same time, it's like, come on, Michael McGreevy deserves to be in this rotation. You got to find a way. One of those ways would be to send Andre Pallante to AAA, but like Oliver Marmol said when asked about that recently, like that doesn't do Pallante any good at this point. There's nothing for him to work on at AAA, that he's got to work through some of these issues we've seen at the major league level, that if he were to do what he's doing at the minor league level, he would just roll through a AAA lineup. So it's a really long answer to a short question. I hope that answers it, but I think it's maybe more complicated than the surface level nature of the question of them. And not that you're a bad question, but you get what I'm saying.
As far as you're concerned, Matt, is the picture clear as to what they need to do at the trade deadline, whether it is just stick with what they have or make some sort of a deal?
No, it's not clear at all. It's as murky as can be. If they continue on the way they've played for the last week and a half, well, then they gotta get whatever they can get for whoever they can get. If they start playing better baseball again, and then all of a sudden they're like legitimately back in playoff contention, and they don't have to be in contention for the division. I don't know what's going to happen with the Cubs. I think the Cubs are a really good baseball team. I hate saying those words, but it's true. They're a really good team, and I don't know if the Cardinals have it in them to chase down the Cubs, but I do think the Cardinals have it in them to be in legit playoff contention. Right now they're three games out of the final wild card spot. If they continue to be within, you know, shouting distance of the wild card spot and are playing better baseball at the same time, then I do think you make a move at the deadline to try to get, you know, at least marginally better.
That's interesting, because I think going into the season, my expectation was if they're going to be a playoff team, their likeliest path is to win the division as opposed to being a wild card. But, you know, that may be it. In order for them to get in, if there's still an opportunity for that, they are going to probably have to be a wild card team.
Yeah, well, we can say thank you to the Atlanta Braves and the Arizona Diamondbacks for that. Because going into the season, you looked at the National League and you saw all these really good teams and you said, well, you know what? The Cardinals really don't have a chance. Well, the Diamondbacks are a 500 team. The Braves have stunk all season long. So that has opened up a door for the Cardinals to potentially be in playoff contention.
Matt, all right. So
sorry, I was
Amy was trying to, so she was distracting me. She wanted to ask you a golf question.
That was great. Yeah, that putt to finish off the U.S. Open okay. yesterday was amazing.
So, it was so rainy. It was like a swimming pool. Oh, the guy who won, J.J. Spahn, was the only golfer under par after 72 holes. The second place, Robert McIntyre, was one over. That never happens at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, look, I'm going to have Dan Reardon on tonight at 7:35 on Sports Open Line, and we're going to talk through this. Our KMOX golf correspondent has been covering golf for a really, really long time. It was a weird weekend when Scottie Scheffler isn't really in contention, and the big names weren't in it, and there was the rain break, and finishing off that yesterday where the rain is just coming down harder and harder and harder, and Spahn's he's holding the umbrella, and he watches Hovland get the his putt attempt that kind of shows him what he needs to do. I don't know. Oakmont isn't a course that's like overly long. I don't know if it normally plays to a point where you're going to have the lower scores or the higher scores. It was only one golfer under par. That does not happen very often. But it was exciting. It was fun. It was exciting. I really got done, watching Cardinals yesterday, and I was able to sit back and watch a little bit of golf and just watching that final hole. And that's one of those putts. I mean, that was the longest made putt of the entire weekend by anybody.
Wow!
And it was on the final hole to win the U.S. Open. That becomes an iconic moment in the history of golf.
It really does. I mean, you're right. It was an incredible putt and he did not start well either, but to see the grounds crew like squeegeeing off the greens because there was just so much water, it was something else for a U.S. Open. I haven't watched a tournament that looked like that before.
No. I can't think of one off the top of my head. I think it just added to the almost the intrigue and the legacy of the tournament. But it was a lot of fun. I was glad to be able to watch it. It was entertaining.
Joey Chestnut's
coming back.
Did you
watch it, Ronge?
No, I don't care. Joey, okay. Golf does very little for
it's
me
so
watching
relaxing.
On TV. It just doesn't do
it's
it for me.
It's a beautiful.
That's great.
It's a beautiful game.
A lot of people like watching it. I can't. I've tried. I can't. But Joey Chestnut's coming back to the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Oh, you can't watch
that. Yes.
Oh, I also cannot watch this either. This grosses me out.
Huge news?
Huge news.
Yeah, he's returning.
It's Americana, baby. 4th of July, and you got the hot dog eating contest. You got Joey Chestnut after a year of contract disputes because he got into bed with a vegan hot dog, and now all of a sudden he's... He had an endorsement deal with a vegan hot dog, and that's why Kobayashi doesn't do the hot dogging contest because he's endorsed by a non-Nathan's hot dog. So now the question is a vegan hot dog actually a hot dog? And last year, the Nathan's people said yes, so therefore Joey Chestnut was not in. Obviously, they have recalibrated on their definition of a hot dog, and now they're saying that a vegan hot dog is not actually a hot dog. So Joey Chestnut, welcome back to the hot dog eating contest.
And unbelievable.
And Chestnut, he went to Twitter today, and he did a little bit of groveling to Nathan's, which was kind of funny, I think. He's talking about, I'm thrilled to be coming back to this event. It means the world to me. Celebration of American culture, so on and so forth. Then he says, while I have and continue to partner with a variety of companies, including some in the plant-based space, those relationships were never a conflict with my love for hot dogs.
Okay.
To be clear, Nathan's is the only hot dog company I've ever worked with. I swear to God, does this not sound like groveling to somebody we know?
The vegan hot dog is like, what? What the hell? Like the vegan hot dog is like, well, we're hot dogs, and now he's going to get into it with the vegans because they're going to have their feelings hurt that they're not.
Well, we're talking
hot
about
dogs.
Them. Whoever talks about vegan hot dogs,
only vegans.
This is great for them. This is great for them because now people are like, huh? Let me look up this vegan hot dog company that Joey Chestnut is involved with.
Do vegan hot dog burps stink?
Ew, everything vegan stinks.
It's got to be worse, like, right?
Yeah, it's worse.
Than a regular hot dog
fake
burp?
Fake meat
yes.
powder and chemicals.
I don't know, man. Hot dog burps are disgusting.
The Impossible
meat,
Burger is just chemicals.
Meat powder, Amy?
Oh,
meat
yeah.
powder?
I don't know what
they
she's
do.
Talking
Any,
about.
Anything that tastes like meat but is not meat is gross to me. It's just gross. Okay. I would rather just eat a hot dog, which is chicken parts, like feet and eyeballs. It's the grossest
okay,
parts.
Stop.
Well,
stop.
It is. It says
but no.
on the packaging, mechanically separated chicken. That means there are
robots.
There
are people listening right now that are planning on going having lunch at the Costco food court and getting a delicious hot dog, and you are ruining it for them.
Listen. No, she isn't, because they've no. Everybody knows what hot dogs are made of.
Everybody knows everybody,
about it.
But it doesn't. You could tell me that while I'm eating a hot dog, and I will continue to eat the hot dog.
I'll tell you this. One of the unintended consequences of the COVID lockdowns is somehow the Mark scores. We just like started barbecuing hot dogs all the time.
You cannot disgust a hot dog eater. It's impossible.
And honestly, the cheaper the hot dog, the better.
Matt?
No, disagree.
Redbird Rush Hour at 5, and then full Sports Open line?
Yes, and we will probably not be talking hot. Well, you know what? I may bring up Joey Chestnut.
Yeah,
bring up Joey Chestnut.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
You bet.
Yo, Paulie, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
That's Matt Pauly, host of Sports Open Line. Catch it tonight at 6. Before that, Redbird Rush Hour with Kevin Wheeler. They'll talk some Cardinals at 5 on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Well, I have terrible news. I have un-American news.
What?
City SC tied again.
Oh, and are you still on this thing?
Yeah. And now we have to counteract it, because even a military parade isn't enough to counteract a tie.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Now you can get a delicious McRib sandwich with a large order of America's favorite fries and a medium Coke.
Oh, beautiful.
That's right. City SC. They've lost a lot recently, as of late, but they did something even worse over the weekend. They tied 3-3. at least there was some action. That's a there lot was, of action for a soccer game.
Yeah, how about Klaus? He scored a bunch.
Yeah.
Well, at least they got points.
I mean,
or a point.
Not a fan of it.
Yeah, I know you're not.
I feel better when they lose. I feel like it's more honest when you just lose.
I need you to play that out for me. Why is it more honest?
Okay.
Because sometimes two people have an argument and neither one of them is particularly right. So,
well, that is an excellent point. I never thought of it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably didn't think of it very
much. I don't
think
you thought this through at all. Like, we all have known that for a long time, for weeks and weeks.
I know, but I am the captain of this ship. I'll be damned if I don't go down with it. So,
we have to now.
I have to.
I think you should be pissed that they've only won three times
ship,
this year.
You know, when
that's
the
what
ship
you should be mad about.
Goes down in the cartoons, and there's one like pointy end of the ship still up, and the captain's like standing on it.
Uh huh.
That's me right now.
So you're
on the pointy tip of the sinking ship.
You're Jack and Rose. They were at the very.
No, they were on a door. They were
Well, they were on the very top of the ship as it went down.
Well, I liked.
They were the last people off the ship.
I chose not to use a real tragedy. I used a cartoon. I was thinking Bugs Bunny.
Well, Jack and Rose weren't real.
No, they weren't. Thank goodness, because she's the worst. Can you imagine having that necklace and throwing it into the ocean?
Oh my God, I wish they would have dumped her in the ocean.
She should have fallen off the door.
She took all those people all the way out there, and then she just dropped that thing in the ocean.
Oh
like,
my gosh.
Oh. Oh, I hate her.
And what about the rest of her family?
One of the worst
She's
people in history.
She's still in love with Jack. She has a husband.
Oh,
she had
man.
Kids.
Should have tossed her overboard with that
she
expedition.
She was the worst.
Awful. She, down there with the Ocean Gate people. Let's talk to Chris Saliza when we come back. That guy, watch that documentary, by the way. That guy, the CEO of that company, what a real piece of crap. Chris Saliza, political commentator, author of the daily newsletter, So What? And More. Chris joins us next on KMOX.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games. And the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.